Kanye. Hello, friends. Hello, you guys. Welcome back. Episode 11 of Tay's Tidbits. 11 episodes. Man, so excited. So proud. Just me today. Shout out again to Megan for joining me for episode 10. It was very, very nice to have someone to talk to. When I listened to the playback, I was very, very proud of the conversation and of the way that the episode went. I don't think we left anything out that we wanted to discuss. So it was nice. It was really, really nice. How you guys doing? I hope that you are well. I hope that this episode finds you in great spirits, in great health. I hope that you've had a good week thus far. Even though when you hear this, it'll be Tuesday, so you'll just be starting your week. Maybe a good weekend? I don't know. Either way it goes, I hope that you walk away from this episode a little bit better than when you press play. Thank you guys so much, again, for all of your support of this show and of me. Not jaded yet. Don't foresee that happening anytime soon. So gratitude will remain at the forefront of the mission of this podcast. Thank you. Thank you. Oh. Told y'all I was gonna go ham to the ocean with my backyard. No lies in my verses. Hey, please pardon all the curses. Hey, shit gotta come in some way. Fuck when you growing up worthless. Middle finger to my old life. Special shout out to my old head. If it wasn't for your advice, a nigga would have been so dead. I'm living life till these niggas kill me. Turn this up if you niggas feel me. I'm riding dirty trying to get filthy. Pablo, Picasso, Rocco's, Rilke's. Graduated to the MoMA, and I did all of this without a diploma. Graduated from the Kona. Y'all can play me for a motherfucking fool if you wanna. Street smart and I'm book smart. Could have been a chemist cause I cook smart. Only thing to stop me is me. Hey, and I'ma stop when the hook stop. Hold up. This is something like the
boy, don't get me started on Sean Corey. We're not even going to do that today. I am prepared to talk a little bit today. I have a lot on my heart that I want to discuss this episode. And mainly the topic being exercise and how it has affected my mental wellness. That is what I want to discuss today. I know that on episode 9 and a little bit on episode 10, I went into kind of sharing with you guys where I was and how I had been struggling and kind of where I found myself over the course of the last, I guess, month now, because the episodes come out every 2 weeks, so it's been about a month. I can report that I'm well. I feel good. I feel like I've been pretty steady as far as my wellness goes. I haven't had any dips or any super high points or anything like that, but I've been kind of in maintenance mode, which I'm thankful for as well. Coming out of that last kind of low place, dark place, I was able to learn a lot, and I was able to put a lot of things into perspective. And I tweet often that when I'm exercising, especially when I'm exercising outside, things come to me. A lot of what I've shared on this podcast has come to me while I was exercising, while I was in movement, moving my body. My mind also starts to move. It's like the wheels of my mind move. And things just drop into my spirit, things that I want to share on this show. So I'm grateful for that, because I don't have to overthink it. I don't have to outline it to a T and, you know, draft up a bunch of notes. I'm able to think about a few things. Like, maybe I'll talk about this, or maybe I'll talk about that. And then I've been fortunate enough to receive what I need while I'm in the, you know, jogging or walking or whatever it is that I'm doing. So movement begetting movement, I suppose. That for me has been helpful, very, very helpful. So when I began to brainstorm episode 11, I knew that I wanted to discuss exercise and how exercise is beneficial to mental wellness and how exercise has impacted my mental wellness. But there were things that started to come to me specifically. So I realized coming out of the last bout of depression that I suffered with, that I am definitely a person who has familiarized herself with self-sabotage. Now, I don't really call it that in my mind, because I'm not looking at, well, what is it that I'm attempting to sabotage, right? Like, it's not like, you know, well, I'm attempting to sabotage a relationship, or I'm attempting to sabotage, you know, my weight loss, or I'm attempting to sabotage, you know, this thing that feels good. So I didn't attach what I was going through to self-sabotage. But I do know that that is a part and has been a part of who I am, and that it has shown itself in different times in my life. So I don't deny that that exists. With where I was, I realized that I am 9 times out of 10 dealing with a trigger of my inner little girl, right? The child in me that was affected by whatever trauma this was at whatever age, right? So let's say, for example, that I'm being triggered, abandonment is the issue. And let's say that the abandonment happened at age 5. This is all hypothetical. So age 5, the abandonment happened. The abandonment is, I'm triggered by abandonment. If that is the case, then it is the 5-year-old Shantae that is acting out, screaming out, you know, searching for attention, validation, comfort, peace, love, what have you. What does that mean? Okay. So when, and for me, I don't think it was abandonment. I think it was rejection, right? Someone not picking me. And I know that a lot of this stuff, if you are a person who follows me on social media or who knows me in real life, or, you know, I always hear people talk about how confident I am. You have to understand that these are triggers. So these aren't things that are like all the time. These aren't the way that I feel, the way that I think. It is something happening in my life that affects or triggers a traumatic experience. and the reliving, the rehashing, and all of the feelings around that traumatic experience. Again, trauma is stored in the body. So when something happens that our brains can relate or connect to a traumatic experience, we are triggered. A lot of times people are triggered and they don't know why. They don't recall whatever this traumatic experience is. And it doesn't have to be something huge. It can be anything that traumatized us in any way, shape, or form. And something happening to us can cause us or cause our brains to harken back to that traumatic experience. Okay. So for me, someone not picking me, not choosing me, looking over me, what have you, triggers rejection. And what I've learned and what I'm getting to, the important part, is that I have always internalized the pain around triggers. Meaning that when I felt this pain from this rejection. Now, I'm not saying that it was rejection, but this is how my brain translated what was happening. Someone disappointed me. Someone hurt my feelings. 5-year-old Chante, right? I'm 5. The inner child is 5. Is automatically going to internalize that because that's what children do. You hurt my feelings. You disappointed me. It must be my fault. I deserve to be punished, right? So children, they are, quote, bad, and they are punished. So I am, I don't know what I did, but I must have done something because this person disappointed me or this person, you know, decided that they wanted to go in another direction and didn't choose me. So how do I punish myself? Now, stay with me. These are not conscious thoughts. This is all me reflecting on where I was and able to look at it holistically and understand from beginning kind of to end, if you will, what the triggering did for me and how I reacted to being triggered. So for me, punishment equates self-abandonment. Self-abandonment. What does that look like? Number one, I'm not exercising. Exercise, by far, hands down, is the most amazing thing that I do for myself. I do lots of things, you know, in line with self-care, right? The things that I do specifically for myself that make me feel good about myself. I like nice perfume. I buy lipstick. I get my nails done, pedicures, massages, facials, things like that. But exercise by far and large make me feel the best. Scientifically proven. There's no, you know, I didn't make this up. I'm not, you know. The release of endorphins and dopamine and all of the hormones that are released in our brain when we exercise are made to make us feel good. Why? Because our bodies were created to move. So to incentivize movement, we feel good when we do it, which makes us want to continue to do it. Not only is it that, dopamine counteracts serotonin, I believe, which is what we people who suffer with depression, those hormones are out of balance. I don't want to talk about which one is low. I'm not a scientist, but those hormones are out of whack in the brains of people who suffer with depression. Exercise helps to regulate that happy hormone. It helps to regulate that feel good hormone, the one that makes us not sad or, you know, just lose hope or whatever it is. Exercise is an antidepressant. So, not feeling good about myself, self-sabotage, punishment, First thing that is to go is exercise. I'm abandoning myself, right? The trigger was rejection. The first thing that I want to do is punish or hurt myself as if I am the reason that someone made the decision that they made. As a 38-year-old woman, I know that not to be the case. As a 5-year-old child, that is not how that works for a child. Okay, so exercise is usually the first thing to go. Second thing for me is I typically just stop paying attention to what I'm eating. So I'm intentional about how much water I drink. It's just one of those things that I don't really have a problem with. Like some people are like, I don't like water. That's not the case for me. I could guzzle it all day. So I'm pretty intentional about how much I consume. Not anymore. Now I want to drink lemonade and soda. I don't even drink soda. Lemonade and soda and, you know, just not cognizant of what it is that I'm drinking or how much water, how hydrated I am. So that's kind of how the flow goes. It starts with exercise and it goes down and it affects other things as well. You know, isolating myself, not talking to people around me, just, you know, not allowing myself to be supported. There's a bunch of different things, but this episode is about exercise and mental wellness. So I want to speak to that more so than anything else. But the point is, I'm super, super, super grateful that I was able to identify the fact that when you are triggered, you immediately fall into, you know, that self-abandonment. You know, I don't know if that's the case for any of you guys, if any of you have been there, or if you're even able to recognize what it is. I did it for years and years and years without recognizing what exactly it was that I was doing. I had a therapist years ago tell me that the inner child, when triggered, just wants to be validated. How many of us have that same story, right, where we can say that we are feeling something or, you know, go, and it doesn't always have to be negative. It can be a positive emotion. And there's just, you know, oh, it's not this. You're so silly. You know, why do you laugh? So why are you so goofy? Or, you know, so it's dimmed in that way. Or, you know, if you are not in the, you know, best of moods, it's, oh, you're just dramatic. You're always crying. It's not that serious. You know, stop crying. Stop being weak. You know, those types of things. So we aren't allowed to feel what it is that we're feeling. So in turn, we learn how to ignore our emotions. We learn how to mask our emotions. We learn how to pretend as though they don't even exist. So for me, it was really no shock that I was able to just do these things and punish myself without even identifying that that's what I was doing. I would feel the feeling of the pain from the trigger and then internalize it. Wouldn't lash out on other people, wouldn't do it, but it would always be me hurting myself. So that validation is necessary. And not only as a child, it's necessary for us to just allow people to feel their feelings. Emotions can be uncomfortable. They can. If you're with someone and they start talking about something that maybe is heavy for them and then they start crying and then you feel uncomfortable because they're crying, so you tell them to stop crying. Don't tell them to stop crying. Crying is healthy. And if you don't feel like you're that safe place to kind of hold space for them in that moment, then just be quiet and let them get out whatever they need to get out. And maybe you rub their back, or maybe you, you know, just put your hand over their hand just to let them know that you're there. If you don't have the words to say, but don't tell someone not to cry, not to laugh, not to, because when we do that, we make for places that our emotions aren't safe. And they are, because they're always valid. Always. You know why? Because they're fleeting. So no matter what it is, it's not going to last forever. So allow people to be who they are and to have the feelings that they have. I would encourage that. Even as grownups, it's okay. It's okay to hold space for the people that you care about, even if you don't necessarily know how to support them in that moment. Maybe you just listen. Maybe you're on the phone and they're talking and they're super upset and they're just going on and on and on and on, and you're just listening. Because maybe they just need you to listen. Maybe they just need your ear. Maybe they don't want you to fix it. Maybe they don't want an answer. Maybe they just want you to hold that space for them. So maybe you ask them, friend, how can I support you? And you allow them to tell you, oh, I just want to vent, or, oh, I want advice, or what would you do? Or, you know, then they can tell you what it is that they need in that moment. But don't dim or quiet someone's emotions because they make you uncomfortable. Crying is not weak. We have to stop it. And I mean man, woman, boy, and girl. There is nothing weak about crying. It is a fucking myth. Psychology says that the strongest people cry the most. Stop it. Stop telling people that they cannot have their feelings. I don't care what it is. If I drop an apple in the grocery store and it makes me upset, don't call me dramatic. These are my feelings. You don't have to understand them. You can handle your life the way you see fit, but don't project your lack or inability to express emotion on other people. It's bullshit. Don't do it. You can be who you are and operate the way you want to operate without ever making someone else feel like they're wrong for operating the way that they operate. Live your life and let people live theirs. It's so fucking simple. I promise you it is. So, in identifying that that inner child, that baby girl Shantae, is seeking validation in that moment, meaning that she just wants to know that it is okay to be upset, I decided that I would write her a letter. And I purposely waited to even look over anything like that. And I didn't write it down. It's in my head. But things that I want to say, that I would say to her. So as a full-grown woman, looking back on situations that happened and that child and things that she went through, now having an advocate, right? Now having someone who is with her, I can say to her, you know, baby girl, I know that there were times when people did things to you that you did not or could not control. That is no longer the case. I am here for you. I will protect you, and I'm going to keep us safe. I am always going to make sure that we are good. I have your back. I have your best interest at heart, and I will not let anyone hurt us the way that they did. Again, I know that it does not feel good to be abandoned, and I know that it does not feel good to be rejected. I know that you don't understand that these things are not your fault, but I'm here to remind you that you did nothing wrong. You were not a bad girl, and you did not cause the adults in your life to choose the things that they chose. I love you. You are safe. You are protected. And you do not have to worry about being alone ever again. Okay. I had to take that breath because I didn't want to begin sobbing on this podcast. I would encourage you guys to research the inner child and to research kind of where that is in psychology and how it affects us as adults and the things that we do and how we, you know, live our lives as grown-ups. I know I speak a lot about trauma on this podcast. Again, these are my experiences in my life. I don't pretend to assume that everyone has been through, you know, largely traumatic experiences. But like we spoke about on episode 10, Megan and I were discussing trauma, and we agreed that everyone has experienced trauma on one level or another. I think everyone understands triggers. I think everyone has experienced them in one way or another. So that was what I got from the last, I guess, little thing that I went through. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I was able to get that. And I'm thankful that I was able to recognize, okay, girl, this is what you do. This is how you react. And it's okay. It is okay. Because it was a survival method at one point. It was automatic. It was all that I knew. Somewhere along the line, I was conditioned to learn how to be mean to myself and to punish myself. You know, making children feel like they are not good enough is teaching them how to punish themselves. So when adults are out of the picture, the adults who punish us for not being good enough, then we turn into our own abusers. We put ourselves in the place of those people who conditioned us to believe that that's what we deserve. I know I'm supposed to be talking about exercise. I am. This is on me, so I'm just going with it. I hope it's okay. But remember that, parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents, whoever you are, if you are the charge over children in your life, know that. If you are not encouraging them, if you're not being positive and strengthening them with your words and your affirmations and your love, then understand at some point, whatever it is that you're offering them is what that is how they're going to treat themselves. And when I say affirmations, I don't mean like just sticky notes on a mirror. Anything that you say to affirm someone is an affirmation. I'm proud of you. You can do anything. You're stronger than you think. You're capable. Those are all affirming statements. And by doing so, you are, how can I put it? You are putting gas in their tank, in the tank of their mental health. Because when you are no longer saying those things to them, you know, as a child, when they become adults, then those things that they have already, I feel like I used this analogy on another episode, but the things that have been stored, the gas, the fuel that has been put in their tank is what they will begin to run off of. That voice that was once you becomes their own voice. And that works on the positive and the negative side. So if we tell our children that they're stupid or I don't know, somebody needs to hear this. And this is I hope that this is affecting change somewhere, that they're stupid. They can't do anything right. Blah, blah, blah. And those things sound drastic, but you would be surprised how many people speak to their children in that way. I'm not here to come against anybody's parenting. I have two that I'm raising myself. I know that it's not an easy job, but what I'm saying is words have so much power and they have the ability to make or break the psyche of this young human being who will one day become an adult. And I'm not putting all of the, you know, onus onto what the parent says or doesn't say. No, I take that back. I am putting all the onus onto what the parent says or doesn't say. You will become your child's inner voice. So when they're in a moment of uncertainty, right? Let's say that they're about to take a really, really important test and they're doubting themselves because that's a natural feeling, right? When you're nervous, like, oh my gosh, can I do this? Your voice will come into their head. It's either going to tell them you can do anything, you're capable, or it's going to tell them you're so stupid. They're going to remember when they didn't make up their bed or they didn't wash the dishes and they heard you say, see, you don't do anything right. And you blah, blah, blah. That's what's going to come in their head. Not because they didn't wash the dishes. It's not like, oh, I didn't wash the dishes again. That's when I hear. No, they're going to hear it when it's important. When they're going to do something really, really important, you are going to be that inner voice that comes into their head. So just be mindful. That's all. Children are so precious, and they are so innocent and untainted. So back to exercise. I feel like I'm all over the place, but not really all over the place. I think all of these things kind of work together. So along with the realization about the self-abandonment, I also had a really large coming to Jesus moment with myself as it pertained to exercise. My therapist would always say, I want you to focus on how you feel and not how you look. And I would hear her and I would listen, but I really did think that that's what I was doing. And this is why I love the Maya Angelou quote, do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better. Because I really did think that I was doing, I'm like, I am, you know, I'm not that vain and I'm exercising because I, you know, I love the way that I feel and blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, I don't know if maybe there was a combination of the two. Let's just say for argument's sake, there was a combination of the two. So I was focused on how I looked and I was also focused on how I felt. I would venture to say that my focus, if we were to divide it up by 100%, was probably more 75-25, 75 being how I looked and, you know, the 25 being how I felt. I enjoyed the after effects of exercise, but that wasn't why I did it. It was more so keeping my body a certain, looking a certain way. So when things started to shift for me, it was able to be the first thing to go because the how I looked was not enough motivation. And it never is. It's never going to be for most people. Vanity is not it's not a good enough reason to keep us doing something. So when she would always say, oh, I want you to focus on how you feel. And I'm like, going through this last, you know, situation where I stopped working out and gained weight, I'm like, oh, okay. The truth is I was not focused. I was not motivated by how I felt. Again, I didn't completely dismiss how I, you know, how great I felt. Because I was exercising regularly for months and months and months, and my mental wellness was steady. I had great days and I had good days. I rarely had like super, super bad days because I was able to quell my anxiety and maintain through exercise. But I didn't even factor that in. It was like, okay, well, you gained weight, so, I mean, just all of the bad feelings that caused me to stop working out, which in turn caused me to gain weight, it was like, it was just like, okay, wait. How I feel is far more important, and I'm speaking about me. In my life, how I feel is far more important than what I look like. Exercise is non-negotiable for me. We as a society have to remove, especially for women, the connection between exercise and weight loss. Every woman who exercises is not doing so to lose weight. There are some people who have to work out to keep themselves well. And I say that with just that much seriousness because I know it to be the truth for my life. I have to work out. I have to move. And when I say work out, I don't mean getting up and going to the gym necessarily every day. I do that. I go outside, but I keep my body moving. Lunchtime, I'm walking all 30 minutes outside walking. I have to move. It keeps me from becoming stagnant in my mind. Because when I'm stagnant in my mind, I already know what's to come. What comes behind that, I should say. So mental stagnation is, it's terrible. It's like the worst thing that can happen for me. I have to keep a flow. I have to keep moving. And I do that mentally by moving my body physically. I think that that should make sense. It probably, there's probably something scientific that can pull it all together and tie it all together, some type of theory or something. I don't know what it is. Again, I'm not a scientist or a doctor or anything like that, but I know what works, if you will, for me. I don't even really like to use the word works, but I know what the key is for me. And the key is for me to keep moving. So it had to click. Like, it had to finally click what she was saying when she said, I want you to exercise because of the way it makes you feel. Because of the way it makes you feel. She said, because if the way that you looked was enough motivation, then you would never stop. That is a fact. Could not argue with her at all. She said, you know, the way that you look is a byproduct and that will happen, but that should not be the focus. The focus should always be, I have to keep moving because if I don't, this is what the result will be. This is what will happen. This is how I'm going to feel. So for me, it's typically about 3 to 4 days. If I don't move my body in some significant way for 30 minutes or more, in 3 to 4 days, I can feel the levels, whatever that hormone is that makes us really sad, I can feel them dropping and I can feel myself just kind of sinking into that place where I'm just like, and again, it's not always sadness. Sometimes it's just like, you know, the lack of desire to, you know, do anything, like the motivation that I may have found just on a normal day-to-day basis for regular shit, folding the laundry, washing the dishes, you know, doing this, doing that, mopping the floor, sweeping the floor, just normal day. When you're someone who suffers with depression, those things seem daunting. Like, no, I don't care if the dishes pile up to the ceiling, literally, I'm not washing. Like, because everything is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Who gives a fuck? It doesn't matter. So I feel very fortunate in that ability, in the ability to move my legs, to move my arms. And I have made a decision to start running again. I stopped some months back. And again, it was all attached to that feeling of, you know, sadness and rejection and punishment, things like that. Running made me feel really, really good. Quick story. I started running in April, actually. So it's been almost a year. And when I started, I never thought that I could be a distance runner. I was like, I can't do it. Like, every time I start, I'm out of breath, whatever, I end up stopping. So started off slow, you know, with the Nike Running Club app and, you know, 1 mile at a time. And I remember when I did my first mile and it was the most accomplishing feeling ever of not thinking that I could run a mile without stopping and then doing it. And then I went from that to 1.5 miles to 2 miles. And before I knew it, I was running 5Ks. Like, I was running 3.2 miles, like, on a Sunday. Like, it was amazing. And then something happened. I was hurt and I stopped running. Not physically hurt. I was emotionally hurt and I stopped running. And I haven't for months and months. And I've been avoiding it for a very long time. So here lately, I made the decision that I am going to start running again. And I ran my first mile back on the pavement last weekend, and it was the hardest shit. It may have been harder than when I ran that mile the first time. It was terrible. I stopped probably like two, maybe three times. My body just did not feel conditioned for it at all. It was like starting over from scratch. Like I had never done this before. Like my hamstrings, my quads, my calves, like they had no idea. Like, what are we doing? But I wasn't discouraged. Even after I stopped, even after I'm like, damn, it took me this long to run a mile and all the pain and my calves being all fatigued and sore, I said, I can get back to where I was. And I can. And I know that I will. I believe that I will. And even beyond where I was before. So I'm encouraged by all of the loops and the bumps and the peaks and the valleys in my journey, because like I told you guys before, I allow me to be the poster child for perseverance, because regardless, come what may, I'm not giving up. That's not going to happen. So if there's one thing that adversity can teach you or can help, it can give you courage, because you can always hearken back to your last painful experience, your last painful moment. And you can say to yourself, if I can get through that, I can get through this. And as cliche as it sounds, this in addition shall pass, because the last thing did. And when I was in that thing, I didn't think I would get through that. But look at me on the other side of it. So I can hold on to the knowledge, to the hope, to the security, to the comfort of knowing that this too is going to pass. So allow me to encourage you guys. I'm not preaching to you guys. I'm not anybody's preacher, but I know what I know, what I know. I don't know what I don't know, but I do know what I do know. And you can make it. You can do it. You are a victor. You're stronger than you think. You're stronger than you give yourself credit for. You deserve all the grace, compassion, and love that you extend to the people around you. And if you don't extend grace, compassion, and love to the people around you, then it means that you're definitely not extending it to yourself. So let's start. Let's start doing that today. Give yourself a break. And in doing so, give other people a break. We are all just out here trying to figure this shit out together. There is none of us who has some type of magic potion, because if there was one to be sold, all of us would have purchased and had it by now. We're just figuring it out. And some of us are a little bit further along on the journey than others. And sometimes there are things that come that knock us backwards, but just stay the course. That's it. Don't get off the road. Keep going. Sometimes you'll be crawling. Sometimes you'll be walking. Sometimes you'll be sprinting. But as long as you stay on that same path, you're going to get where it is that you're going. And I don't even know that there's a destination, right? Healing is ongoing. It's messy. It's, I don't know. But what I do know is that I am going to be better off if I keep moving forward. That's it. That's all I have for you guys. I love you all so much. I truly believe that you know by now, but not going to stop saying it. Thank you for listening to episode 11. And thank you to everyone who has listened to the entire series of episodes. I truly enjoy coming into this studio and recording this podcast. It brings me the most joy outside of my children that I have ever experienced in my life. So thank you guys so much for allowing me to do this. Thank you for holding the space and listening to the stories and the lessons and the setbacks and the heartbreaks and everything that is me. I'm Shantae. I didn't introduce myself at the beginning. If you don't know, Tay is short for Shantae. I hope that you enjoyed episode 11. I hope that you will come back and meet me here for episode 12. Look forward to kicking it with you guys again. Be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at tays.tidbits. You can follow me on Instagram _IamShantae_. You can find all things related to the podcast at www.taystidbits.com. All of the episodes are there. The merch is there. I am eventually going to start posting, you know, people's reviews and blogs and things like that all on the website. Thanks again, you guys, for all of your feedback, all of the things that you offer to me. They all help me. While I don't take everyone's feedback, you know, because the intellectual property on this bitch belongs to me, I do appreciate that you take the time to let me know how you feel. That's it. Love someone. Love someone today. Intentionally love someone. Reach out to someone who you've been thinking about, who you haven't spoken to. Yes, apologize to someone. Like, for real, apologize and change your behavior. Yeah, that part. It's a little bit different than just saying, I'm sorry, because it sounds good. Do right by somebody who deserves for you to do right by them. But, you know, most importantly, do no harm, but take no shit. Peace. Ground, and nobody turns.